Good morning. This is Northern Light for Wednesday, April 10th. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe.
Universities are a big part of the North Country economy. They bring income from students and employ a lot of people. But with many of them under financial pressure, that's leaving the communities they're in worried about the future.
We cannot say, you know, SUNY has a plan. They're holding it close to their vest. Nobody knows what that plan is for the SUNY system. We have to have a vision. We have to know what that vision is. The community has to know what that vision is. We have to know where we're going.
Lawmakers in New York are extending the budget deadline again so state workers can be paid while the legislature hashes out next year's statewide spending plan. The big issues are still housing, retail theft, and restoring cuts to school aid.
We are looking at mitigating the pain that half of the school districts in this state was going to experience.
And a conversation with Canton musician Kyle Tupper. He was inspired by his dad to pursue his dreams in Nashville. He's just released a cover version of a song made popular in the 80s by his dad's band Double Axel. All that's coming up on Northern Light. Stick with us.
Broadcast of Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio is supported by Mountain Orthotic and Prosthetic Services, a full-service practice committed to providing care for patients of all ages with offices in Lake Placid, Plattsburgh, and Malone. Details and referrals at mountainoandp.com. And Fort De La Presentation, helping to educate and recreate historical ventures of interest to the St. Lawrence region, fort1749.org. And it's our spring fundraiser, your chance to make a gift right now. Here's our Champlain Valley reporter, Kara Chapman. Hey, Kara.
Hi, Todd. Yes, it is the first week of our spring fundraiser. So far, we've raised more than $187,000, and we've got to get to our $315,000 goal. We can only do that with your support, and you can do that by calling 877-388-6277 or going online to ncpr.org/give. Thank you very much. And I want to talk to our new donors for a second. You know, if you've never made a gift to NCPR, maybe you're just discovering our award-winning reporting, you know, the access to news from around the world, our locally hosted music shows, make your first donation today. Call 877-388-6277, or you can go online to ncpr.org/give. And thank you so much to any of our new donors who decide to contribute. And, you know, we also have to give love to our sustainers whose donations automatically renew every year. Thank you so much for your continued support of North Country Public Radio. And whether you're a new donor or a sustainer, you get to choose a thank you gift when you make your contribution. And thank you gifts I want to talk about today. I'm personally very excited about this new pet bandana we've got going on. You can select that for $5 a month. It's red. You can get it in, you know, size small or large for your various sized, you know, animals and animal needs. It's got the NCPR logo on it, the pet bandana for $5 a month. We've got our cranberry ball cap. That's $10 a month. And let me tell you, Todd Moe rocks this ball cap pretty much on the regular. It is a great ball cap. If you want to be more like Todd, get this ball cap, $10 a month. And we've also got a new umbrella for $15 a month. It's black. It's got 42 inches of coverage. You know, if you need to take your dog outside, go check on your goats, yada, yada, all different kinds of weather, we've got you covered at NCPR. And if you donate today, you'll get entered into our daily prize drawing for a 2-in-1 foldable lounge chair. It's also, it's got an integrated wagon cart, all-terrain wheels, great for, you know, the warming weather in the North Country where, you know, you've got to go places, you've got to relax in the sun, you've got a lot of things to do, and this will help you do that. So once again, you can give now by calling 877-388-6277 or going online to ncpr.org/give. It's our spring fundraiser. Sorry about that. And we thank you so much for your continued support. Once again, call 877-388-6277 or go online to ncpr.org/give. And thanks.
This is Northern Light. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe. Colleges and universities across the country have seen a 15% drop in enrollment over a decade. That means major financial pressure on those schools and the communities that host them. The North Country's 10 colleges and universities are crucial to the regional economy. As Catherine Wheeler reports, businesses and community leaders are worried about the future as the schools make tough decisions to survive.
Eric Schulz's workspace is tucked into the woods, not too far outside of Canton. Inside, he's cutting wood to make drawers for his client's new kitchen.
I'm actually just about to start a job for a couple of retired professors, and the job I just finished was also for retired university employees.
Schulz is a carpenter and a home builder.
Probably somewhere around half of my customers over the last 30 years have been employed in one way or another through the universities. So certainly for myself, and I think a lot of builders, it's a huge part of our customer base.
Because as he puts it, they're stable jobs. It might not make you rich, but with the region's cost of living, the jobs can give you enough disposable income to save up for a new build or renovation. But Schulz says that's changing, at least for one customer.
I did, for the first time this year, lose one of my two major projects for the summer, which was a large addition, specifically because the customers were university people who have become more and more concerned about the stability of their job and so have decided to either put off or not do the project.
Colleges and universities are essential to the North Country's economy, but right now, most of them are struggling. According to state data, there are almost 10,000 fewer students enrolled at colleges in the North Country than a decade ago. That's like the city of Ogdensburg slowly disappearing over 10 years. SUNY Potsdam and St. Lawrence University are both struggling with multi-million dollar deficits. Clarkson University is reorganizing the whole institution, and a plan to merge Paul Smith's college with a New York City not-for-profit fell apart. It's all piling up, and that worries local leaders.
We, are within the economic development community well aware of the importance of the colleges and universities and the challenges they face.
That's Patrick Kelly. He's the CEO of the St. Lawrence County Industrial Development Authority. That group helps promote job opportunities in the county. Kelly says these institutions are a pillar of the region's economy.
We're fortunate we have five colleges and universities for a relatively small rural county that's unique. So the colleges, they're economic drivers, they're large employers, they bring students here, obviously, which brings income, which brings wealth, and that benefits our local small businesses.
There are two sides of this valuable economic coin. One is the faculty and staff of the universities. They buy houses, eat, and shop locally. They have families who work in other industries and use public schools. Kelly says university jobs vary in rank, from entry level to administrative to teaching. That helps to diversify the area.
Collectively, the colleges employ about 3,000 people, so it's every part of the economy.
Just the three SUNY campuses in St. Lawrence County employ more than 1,400 people, both directly and indirectly. According to the Fiscal Policy Institute, that's about 4.5% of all jobs in the county. That figure doesn't include the two private universities. And those numbers could shrink because schools are leaning on early retirement options and are laying off staff to balance budgets. On the other side is the students, who rent houses, eat in restaurants, and buy drinks and bars on a dependable schedule. So as all of this stability erodes, the effects ripple through the community.
We've found that with the declining enrollment, we've also lost certain opportunities.
Allison Carney owns Brick and Mortar Music with her husband, Jeremy. They've had the music shop in Potsdam for about 10 years. The Carneys say their business wouldn't be the same without the colleges, especially the Crane School of Music at SUNY Potsdam. But Jeremy Carney says the college's problems are their problems, too.
We are physically going and finding more business because of that, because we are understanding that we have to do more down the road to keep up with the loss of enrollment.
Carney says the colleges and villages can't survive without each other. Their successes are intertwined. But right now, he says local businesses need more support from both the institutions and local government.
If there was more interaction between us, I think we would feel better about what's going on, or more knowledgeable maybe, or at least they would hear what we have to say about it and how it's going to affect us. Because when it comes down to it, I mean, I think the village is so important as far as a place to offer the students, the faculty.
These problems aren't just for a few businesses and a few villages in the North Country. It's about the whole state. The SUNY system is the largest comprehensive university system in the U.S., and the stakes are high.
We cannot operate in the abstract.
That's Assemblyman Scott Gray. His district includes 5 colleges in the North Country. He says that's why he's been advocating for greater transparency, especially from the SUNY system that oversees the state-run colleges.
We cannot say, you know, SUNY has a plan. They're holding it close to their vest. Nobody knows what that plan is for the SUNY system. We have to have a vision. We have to know what that vision is. The community has to know what that vision is. The stakeholders, unions have to know what that vision is. We have to know where we're going.
Gray says these colleges have to stick around. According to a recent report from the state comptroller, communities throughout the state rely on these institutions to help keep up population, increase economic output, and improve the standard of living.
We cannot let our communities crumble in this whole sense. We have to keep everybody together. And so we need to keep investing as much we can in economic development type programs to help the peripheral while we focus on higher education institutions there.
But for some, sticking it out isn't an option, or the instability is just too much. Stephen Bird has been a professor at Clarkson for 15 years. In December, the university announced it was cutting Bird's department. His job wasn't on the chopping block, but shortly after the announcement, he got offered a dream job out of state. And now he's moving on. So when he looks around, he says it feels like a lot is disappearing.
In 2019, this was a hallway with 17, 16 people who were here just about almost every day. And by the fall, there'll be 6 or 7 of them left.
Bird says it's not just at Clarkson. It's Paul Smith College, it's SUNY Potsdam, and SUNY Canton, and SUNY Plattsburgh, and St. Lawrence University. It's a lot of schools across the U.S. Bird says a lot of his colleagues are taking an early retirement option. Others are leaving for new gigs.
So some people are getting to leave and, you know, who are in essence sort of forced out. Some people are moving to situations that I think they might not have considered if they hadn't been. And other people will be staying. They need to stay because of family reasons or, you know, personal reasons, and figuring out how to accommodate their new academic life here. And that is really hard.
Bird says the whole situation is demanding people to think about their lives and careers in a totally different way. And many don't know how this is all going to shake out over the next few years. Catherine Wheeler, North Country Public Radio in Potsdam.
You're listening to Northern Light right here on North Country Public Radio. I'm Monica Sandreski, stepping in for just a minute to remind you that this is the first week of our spring fundraiser. It's reporting like this. It's contextual reporting about these issues that impact every one of us in our community that you rely on, that you rely on NCPR for, to get that context, to help us understand each other better. I think of something that Valerie Cole sent in to us. She's a listener in Granville, and she says that NCPR's trustworthy and reliable reporting makes it possible for me to hear and understand the news in my area and around the world. NCPR helps me feel connected to a community of like-minded folks who care about our home and our world. Valerie, thank you so much for that, and thank you for your contribution. Join with Valerie in saying, yes, this reporting matters. It matters for me, for my family, my neighbors, and our community at large, and I want to support it now by calling 877-388-6277 or giving now online at ncpr.org/give. Here to tell us a little bit more is our Champlain Valley reporter, Kara Chapman. Kara, good morning.
Good morning, Monica. Thank you so much. And just to give you all like a little bit of an inside baseball look, you know, stories like what Catherine just put out, they don't just happen. Catherine put a lot of time, research, writing, interviewing into this story, looking at all the different angles and figuring out who could best speak to the different perspectives at play, whether it's the local business owners, the people in higher ed, the politicians. That kind of quality reporting is what you get, what you always get when you listen to NCPR. It is worth your investment. It is worth your dollars. And when you give now to our spring fundraiser, you make sure that, you know, Catherine, myself, and the rest of our news team gets to keep making stories just like that, that, you know, like Monica was saying, that give you context, help you to be more informed, help you understand what is happening in our communities across the North Country. And you can do that. You can support that work. Call 877-388-6277, or you can go online to ncpr.org/give. Thank you so much for your support. And I wanted to talk also about some, you get the reporting. You also get to select a thank you gift.
Yes.
And one that we've been talking about a lot today, and I'm going to keep talking about it, is the pet bandana. For $5 a month, you get this, you know, beautiful bright red pet bandana with the NCPR logo on it. Whether you've got a smaller animal or a larger animal, we've got you covered for that. And also, as part of that, you know, if when you give this morning by calling 877-388-6277 or going online to ncpr.org/give, if you give us your, you know, the name of your favorite pet, all your pets, I know I don't like to choose favorites, then we'll give them a shout out on the air this morning. So you can help make that happen. Help us keep doing this important work. Call 877-388-6277 or go online to ncpr.org/give. And thanks.
You're listening to Northern Light right here on North Country Public Radio. It's 8:16. Good morning. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Coming up in just a minute, a conversation with musician Kyle Tupper, who did a cover of his dad, a song that his dad wrote back in the 1980s. We've got that conversation and a taste of the music coming up in just a few minutes here on Northern Light.
Music by Dan Duggan out of Lake Clear. And just a reminder that Dan Duggan, Peggy Lynn, Dan Bergren, the Jam Crackers have a concert coming up at Tawny Traditional Arts in upstate New York, downtown Canton, this Friday night, 7 o'clock. Jam Crackers at Tawny, part of the Cabin Fever series. And Dan says they're calling it their post-eclipse concert. Admission by donation, Friday night, 7 o'clock, Tawny in Canton. Northern Light is supported by North Country Children's Museum, Potsdam, with hands-on and minds-on exhibits and programs for children 12 and under and their families. Open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 to 5, northcountrychildrensmuseum.org. And Blue Seed Studios, Saranac Lake, promoting community involvement in the arts on the web at bluseedstudios.org.
New York State's budget is over a week late. Lawmakers plan to meet tomorrow to pass another spending extender that will last until April 16th. That's next Tuesday. Karen DeWitt reports.
State Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins says she'd hoped that the budget, now 10 days late, would have been done by now. But she says talks have been slow, and there have been other distractions, like a major celestial event on Monday.
People are asking, did I think it would be finished with the budget before the eclipse and hope springs eternal? And I was hoping that at least it would be simultaneous, but the eclipse has come and gone. So we didn't make that deadline, but we continue to work towards concluding the budget, you know, as quickly as possible.
Stewart-Cousins says the Senate will break for the Muslim holiday that marks the end of fasting during the month of Ramadan, and then briefly return on Thursday to pass another extender that will last through Tuesday. That's so state workers and state contractors can continue to be paid. The major issues that are unresolved in the budget include a housing package. It would build more affordable housing, offer tax breaks to developers who agree to add affordable units, and strengthen rights for tenants. Stewart-Cousins says talks are progressing on how to crack down on retail theft, although so far Democrats in the legislature have not signed on to Governor Kathy Hochul's plan to increase penalties for robbers who also assault a store employee. Earlier this month, Governor Hochul signaled that she might be willing to drop a controversial budget proposal that would have resulted in half of the state school districts receiving significantly less money from the state than they did in previous years. Hochul wanted to end the provision known as Halt Harmless. It guarantees that no school gets less funding than it did in the budget the year before. The governor told reporters she's leaning instead toward a study to change the state's foundation aid formula going forward that would put off any potential cuts until at least a year into the future.
We talked about putting a process in place so by this time next year, giving everybody the notice and warning that they all asked for, that there will be a different formula. And I'm just deciding with the leaders how that mechanism will work, but I think it's going to be put us all in a much better place.
Stuart Cousins says she thinks this year's final budget will include restorations for the hundreds of districts that would have had to scramble to make up for a sudden drop in funding.
We are looking at mitigating the pain that half of the school districts in this state was going to experience.
The Senate leader says budget talks will continue among the governor and the top leaders in the legislature, but she can't guarantee that there will be a spending agreement by the time the next extender runs out on Tuesday. She says the budget talks are at the beginning of the end, but she says the end is always the hardest part. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
Senator Kirsten Gillibrand was in Canton over the weekend visiting a glass manufacturing plant. According to a press release, she toured the Corning plant in Canton, which is known for producing glass and crystal. The company is now playing a role in manufacturing semiconductors. Gillibrand said in a press release that Corning is helping New York become a global leader in chip manufacturing and semiconductor innovation.
The owners of a ski hill in Queensbury are helping to make major upgrades to the property. According to the Glens Falls Chronicle, the local planning board moved an application forward for the West Mountain ski area. The plans call for turning the mountain into an alpine village experience with 250 apartments, more than 60 condos and single-family homes, and a hotel with 80 rooms. The owner told the Chronicle he wants to turn West Mountain into a destination four-season resort. West Mountain has struggled in recent years as climate change leads to warmer temperatures and more frequent freeze-thaw cycles.
And the men's professional hockey team from Glens Falls is set to finish the season in the top of its division. According to the Post-Star, the Adirondack Thunder held onto their top ranking after an overtime victory against a team from Texas over the weekend. The Thunder will now compete in the playoffs in Glens Falls later this month. The semifinals will begin on April 19th, and tickets went on sale on Monday. Meanwhile, they'll finish out their regular season with two games against Maine this weekend at the Cool Insuring Arena in downtown Glens Falls.
You're listening to Northern Lights here on North Country Public Radio. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Coming up in just a minute, music and conversation with Kyle Tupper. Then stick around after the show for Bird Note. More on bird echolocation coming up at 8:42. But first, Todd has a look at the weather for us.
The Weather Service says a mix of sun and clouds and rain showers today with highs in the upper 50s, mid-60s, winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour, higher gusts at times, lows in the upper 40s tonight. Still some scattered rain showers possible, and actually looks like scattered rain at this point right through Sunday and Monday of next week. Highs tomorrow in the 60s, near 70, a little cooler on Friday, low 60s for highs, 40s, low 50s for highs on Saturday and Sunday. Right now, mostly cloudy, 57 degrees in Canton.
Head to any of the bars in the North Country on a Friday or Saturday night, and there's a good chance you'll catch a cover band. You'll hear classic rock hits by the Rolling Stones and Journey, but a lot of those bands have a catalog of original tracks, too. Double Axel has been a staple in the North Country music scene for 40 years, and one of their originals is finding its way to younger listeners thanks to a brand new version.
Kyle Tupper is the son of Double Axel's former drummer, Brian, and after spending years leading his own band and as a music teacher during the day, Tupper left the North Country to pursue a career in Nashville, Tennessee, and he recently caught up with Northwoods host Mitch Tyke to talk about why he decided to bring a local hit from the 80s into the 21st century.
So my dad was the third drummer over the 10-year of the group Double Axel, and they're still playing today. So after Dad left, they went to a three-piece, but right when he joined the band, they were working on the album Lovers Never Win, and so he played drums and sang background vocals on pretty much all the songs, and he had the opportunity to work on the song I Need You Now, which was one of my favorite songs, because, you know, as a 8-year-old kid hearing your dad on this vinyl record, which how many of us really know what those things are anymore? Dad, being a musician, had the big speakers and everything. So I was very spoiled growing up listening to great music all the time. And then he would pop out, yeah, and I was in this band. And he put the record on. And he's like, I sang this song. And I was hooked.
When did the idea to re-record it in 2023 or 2024 come along? And how did you set about, like, what was the you know, let's be heady here and say artistic vision for the new version?
I remember it vividly, actually. I was sitting on the back patio with a cup of coffee. I think it might have been around 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. And at that time, I had been working through some online courses on how to record music. And it's always been a passion of mine, something I've always loved doing and wanted to get really good at. And I thought at that moment, I was like, man, wouldn't it be cool to, like, re-record all of these songs that inspired me to really do the whole musician thing. And it was kind of like my homage to this great group that I revere so much. But that was in 2020. So it's like pre-pandemic, like right before the pandemic hit. And I'm working through, okay, how to record at home, how to do things. I've done a couple of things before, but how do I take it from being like this amateur recording thing to this professional level, which is where I've always wanted to be? And weirdly enough, the pandemic hit at a perfect time where I could really learn the craft, right? And so I went into this whole deep dive of getting really good studio quality recordings right at home for inexpensive rates, and it just snowballed into that. And then I kind of just put it on the shelf for 3 years, and finally had a moment to breathe and be like, you know, I have this on my hard drive. Let's finish it and just start putting it out there. It's just like most musicians, we write, and it's just ideas that get put on the shelf and they just sit there. And so I've just kind of, I don't know if it's been some sort of lightning bolt that just hit me and said, Eureka, you know, just get over yourself and start putting this stuff out. And it was incredible to just see the response, not only like for people like you, but from folks all over New York State and other areas in the country that went to SUNY Potsdam, went to Clarkson, went to St. Lawrence University, went to SUNY Canton, and were watching Double Axel in the 70s and the 80s. And, oh, I remember seeing your dad. God, he was so great. And the landing, we went up to the Waterhole in Lake Placid, and we saw them. Oh, it was the greatest band we ever seen. And that's when I met my wife. And so it's like I put this random song out, not thinking anything of it. It's like, God, just a great song. And then just seeing how it really was a part of other people's lives. It's so cool to see how it's just snowballed into that. And I was like, man, that was really cool. And then that whole process of just learning how to record and wanting to kind of just keep their music alive is just like my way of saying this is what inspired me as a musician. Let's see, I've got a couple more on that record that I'm working on. And so who knows, maybe there'll be some more Double Axel originals that will be released into the ether and kept alive.
How true to the original did you try to stick?
I'd say it's about maybe 60-40 to the original. And I might be a hair slower. The key's different. Dad sang it in D. I dropped it down to C. Just vocally, it felt a little bit better. The arrangement as a whole is 100% true to the song in terms of verse, chorus, guitar, solo. But I changed a couple of chords to, you know, spice it up and everything. A lot of my background comes from learning jazz voicings and playing piano that way. And it was just something like, okay, I like these chords, but how, you know, I want to stay true to the song, but I'll add a little bit of me.
But it does have it has a really nice 80s vibe to it, too.
Yeah. So I was kind of going along. I mean, there's this whole movement of this genre called synthwave / retrowave, where people are really just coming back to those synth sounds of the 80s, the reverbs, the guitar solos. It's really coming back in vogue, and for me, that's great because I love that stuff. I need to tell you that the sun is shining. I need to tell you what I need.
Tupper is a former Canton musician who now spends his time playing in Nashville. He recently re-recorded a song from the North Country band Double Axel, which you can listen to in full at ncpr.org/Northwards. And from everything that Kyle was saying, it just reminds me so much of what a connecting point the North Country and NCPR are. I love hearing from listeners like Thomas Duffy from Brooklyn, Philip Alex Como from Hinesburg, Vermont, Mary Furtado from Burlington, who says that she works in the U.S. Army in Europe, and I love to listen to NCPR even with the time difference. Just what a connecting point throughout the country and throughout the world that NCPR has come to be. It's something that means a lot to me, and I know that's why one of the reasons I contribute to the station. We are in the midst of our spring fundraiser, and we know that that's important to you as NCPR being a connecting point. That's why you come to the station. That's why I come to NCPR and why I give. We'd love for you to follow suit, too. It takes all of us coming together to give what we can to keep the station strong. Call now, 877-388-6277, or go online to give now at ncpr.org/give. With us right now is Kara Chapman, our Champlain Valley reporter. Hey, Kara.
Hi, Monica. Yeah, I loved hearing, you know, the comments that Monica was just reading. We also have one from Mindy from Watertown, who just made her donation and says, and I quote, "You guys rock. I love Northern Light, your hosted music shows, the world news, and the great sense of community NCPR provides." Speaking to our, you know, newer listeners, if you're new to this community, you can make your first donation now in any amount by calling 877-388-6277, or you can go online to ncpr.org/give. Thank you for your support.
Yes, thank you so much for letting us know, Kara. More to hear from Kara coming up in just a few minutes, but that is the end of the show for the day. Morning Edition continues in just a minute. I'm Monica Sandreski here with Todd Moe. Thank you so, so much for listening and giving now online at ncpr.org/give. And thank you so much for your support.